Hello and welcome to the Hardball Gets podcast. This is the AFLW Takeover. I'm Jen Wallace and I'm joined by the West Australian sports journo Eliza Riley and former WA and WAFLW player Ashley Renshaw. Let's get into it. Guys, sport, coolest of games at times. We've had round one. It's got to be the biggest talking point is just the injuries that have occurred in AFLW this weekend. Heartbreakers.
It's an absolute heartbreaker, especially, well, they're all three amazing players. Izzy Huntington has been confirmed. Kate Lutkins, we haven't really heard much if that's a confirmation or not. And, of course, joint W medalist Bree Davey.
Oh, there goes my prediction of who's winning the W medal from last week. I was sticking with her going back to back. That is done. I'm not going to make another prediction because maybe I'm the curse. So,
guys, the email has literally just dropped in my inbox. Davey, ACL, confirmed.
That's why you're here. Look at that.
Newsbreaker.
Yeah.
Bringing
the hand.
And an MCL just to make it even worse in her right knee.
Yep.
So the double CLs, and she is gone for the rest of the season. Three clubs lose their best players in one weekend of football.
That sucks.
That's heartbreaking.
And seasons wise, I mean, ACLs, you can be really lucky. You can come back in 6 months and it can be up to 12. I mean, if it goes really badly, it can be longer than that. But anywhere from 6 to 12 months, 6, 9 and 12 tend to be milestones. How long's the turnover between seasons?
I'm pretty sure they're going to start November, December.
Yeah, so those girls aren't
they're done.
Making it back for round one. They're probably missing most, if not all, of the next season.
Yeah. Oh,
that's doubly sucky.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, they talked about it on the broadcast on the weekend as well, but for these girls, it's not just their footy careers, it's their outside of footy careers. Like,
correct.
Lutkins works in the army. She's a defence force. I can't see her continuing in that unless it's some sort of desk role, or it's just so much more than on field.
Yeah, and even in regards to how you can get through the medical treatment and your rehab and those sorts of things, if you're a dedicated full-time athlete, boring and as hard as it is to be in the rehab group, at least you can be in the rehab group. These guys are going to have to keep their jobs, whatever that job can be, and then fit in rehab on the top of it, which might actually extend that time out. It's just sport to me, sometimes you just wish there was a bubble wrapped around anyone that decided they're going to go for a run, going to try and do something to make themselves healthy that means that these things can't happen, because it just breaks my heart.
It's just the reason for me is why as well, because we just had the AFL release an injury report quite recently saying knee injuries are on the downward slide. I think this preseason alone we had 3 ACL injuries. So 3 girls over 2 or 3 months of preseason did their ACL, and in 1 weekend of football we have 3 of the best players in the competition.
Mm.
Why? Like,
I don't know. Well, the clubs do so much now on landing mechanics. There's all the knee prehab and conditioning stuff. It's a real huge focus, which is aligned with the reward of the report saying that those injuries had gone down. Is it the harder surfaces? Is it the fact that we've come off the back of some really hot weather or some really wet weather that's been different in different sides of the coastline? Has the ground affected any of it? I don't know the answers to it, but it's extraordinary that 3 have gone down in a way that wasn't really connection and collision injuries. Yeah. They were just slightly turning incorrectly, like the slightest of
and that's
foot
the thing
placements.
With ACLs, you can either do it by just landing or there can be a horrific injury, a tackling injury where your knee goes. It's just, it's touch wood, hopefully, no more ACL injuries.
Oh, that'll
that's
do
it.
Us.
Yeah,
for sure.
That's it.
Yeah, we're done. We've lost
footy gods, you better be listening.
We've lost 3 All-Australians, no more.
Yeah, that's harsh. Okay, as hard as it is to move on from that, and I'm sure it'll come up again as we touch on each of those players' teams as well in the two-minute warning section. Locally, the Derby. It's a big weekend in WA footy.
I think Ebony Antonio has kicked goal of the year in round one.
Calling it already.
Calling it.
Antonio's got some wheels. She'll take them on. Bernarda along the ground. Oh. The beater it does. What a remarkable goal to get us started. How do you like it? Ebony Antonio.
It was a belter too.
It was so good. On the outside of the boot as well. Like, and then on top of that, celebrations, unreal.
And her wife, Juddy, was in the goal square calling, kick it a mate, kick it a mate. And she just goes,
watch this. This is how it's done.
I'm sure that generated a bit of discussion that night at home. But
surely Ebs is just putting the palm up. Don't talk to me. I kicked it.
Yeah. Well, she's kicked 3. But
that was magic. I did not see her kicking 3 goals.
No, neither did I.
Led up to that game, but very happy she did. It was fantastic to watch. What else did we see from the Derby? There's a bit of biff. There's a bit of almost white line fever, wasn't there?
Well, players can never claim that they don't read the newspaper ever again, because I was chatting to some of the Dockers girls post-game and we did a lift out for the AFLW season last Friday, which was fantastic to see the paper getting around the season starting.
But it was great. It was
great. Wrote this column basically asking the players for a bit of biff, because I selfishly wanted to see it. And then apparently, so I was speaking to some of the players post-game, and some of the quotes had been pulled out and put in their pre-game speech, like they do a PowerPoint. So can I take credit for Fremantle winning the Derby?
I think you can take credit for there being some awesome sort of energy to it. Absolutely.
Yeah, you can.
Definitely. I love that you called for it and you got it. It was quite surprising. What was it? Swanee celebrating her goal with a bit of shirt front to Hayley Miller, captain.
She got her in the face. I'm not sure that was intended, but she got her in the face. So.
That was a bit sort of rage machine Swanson, I reckon.
Yeah.
Well, she copped it afterwards, on the run back to the centre circle. She was copping it from everywhere. So.
She did, and then I think there was a free kick after that point. I don't know if that was a free kick and that's why it took a while to come back to the middle, but I'm all for a bit of white line fever. It's a tick from me.
And the medal, are we happy with split winners?
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, I guess, I'm going to take that back. No, I thought Antonio had it.
Yeah, I thought Antonio had it.
I thought she had it clear. Because of the impact that her three goals had on the game. I think that she was very impactful. Not taking away from Bauer's performance, she's always impactful. And maybe that's why I was like, this is different. But, yeah, I wouldn't have been unhappy if Antonio got it singularly.
It was a really interesting voting, up on the balcony there. Me and Nikki Harwood were a couple of metres away from each other and we're sort of giving each other looks, which way is this heading? Obviously, Nikki gave the three votes to Bowers and one to Antonio. I went the opposite of that. Gave Antonio the three just because we've spoken about just her impact. And I know Gemma Howden kicked five goals in the last Derby and didn't walk away with the medal, but I felt like Antonio's goals were something out of nothing. They were complete individual brilliance.
Yeah.
Nothing else he can contribute that to except her. And Bowers, while she was magnificent as always, I've probably seen her play better.
Yeah. Yeah. I think as I didn't notice her as much, maybe that's why I sort of thought that way. The other person for me, when it came to it and when they said there's a tie, I actually thought it was potentially going to be Hayley Miller. I thought
she was great.
Yeah, yeah. Miller in the midfield was just, had some bit of magic and had quite a bit of impact. And then the two goals as well. So, I maybe that just shows that I'm so used to what Turbo brings that I sort of put that aside from my mind. And when they said tie, I went, that's my thought.
Turbo was very influential in that first half. I think she had 17 disposals to halftime, but then I think
six
after that.
Three in that third quarter when the Eagles sort of fought back a bit. But
I also may have thought Hayley Miller was going to tie with Ebony, but nonetheless, Ebony and Turbo joint winners. That was good.
It's got to be incredible, surely. I'm not saying retire now, but Bowers, does that mean this award should be named after her, or will there be other higher honours potentially that will be named after her? But she hasn't not received this award. It is hers.
Well, that medal at the moment should already be named after an AFLW trailblazer in Perth. We've got plenty of them. I feel like the Derby medal should already have a name, and maybe we save Bauer's name to
something bigger.
Chuck on something a bit bigger down the track.
Yeah, I think maybe the the Derby medal should be named after Jan Cooper.
Okay.
But then again, Jan Cooper's done so much. Maybe her name should be on the Brownlow, equivalent.
I know.
It's too many awards, too many trailblazers, guys.
Ash's getting
can
needed.
Everyone just settle down?
The table's getting banged.
Yeah, sorry if you hear that, but I didn't mean to. It's just there's just so many names. What
can
we do?
Little angry ant over there. She's getting excited.
I know. Hayden's coming out already.
Hey, a couple of things, random things I wanted to get your thoughts on as well. I saw the Sydney Swans, they put out a reminder on their socials to watch the beginning of AFLW round, excited, all this sort of stuff. And there's this awesome little humble brag that came with it because it said, reminder, we lead the current AFLW membership tally. They don't even have a team yet.
Do they really?
That's incredible.
Wow.
I'm assuming they're not lying on but
are they doing what other clubs do and count dog memberships and stuff in that? there's a couple scrappies, a couple.
No, you can't be.
I don't know, but I read that and I was like, wow.
I mean, good on them, but how's that possible?
I don't know. Well,
let's look into
it. You're the journo. You research that for me.
Sorry, I'll come back to you next week.
Yeah.
All right. And then long sleeves, yes or no?
Big yes.
I love them.
Yeah.
Yes. Depends on the colour, though.
They are rash vests. I reckon they could put out a line in all of the merchandising for your surfing rash vests.
Yeah. Prospakis donned it for Geelong and it looked like a wetsuit.
Yeah, it did.
The colours and everything.
Duffin had it on. Someone from Brisbane Lion had it on.
Caitlin Ashmore had it on. Jess Wooshner, she had it on as well. She always wears it.
Wooshner wears the sleeves.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, should we get started?
Should we rip in?
Should we rip in? Let's do it. Start the timer. Adelaide.
Alrighty, Adelaide. They defeated the reigning premiers by 30 points, which was a very comprehensive win. Just reading into Adelaide this morning, and they said they did not mention at all about the discussion of the 2021 AFLW Grand Final. Do we believe them?
I call BS. BS.
Absolutely not.
Liars.
There's no way that did not factor into this performance.
Well, you can't sit there and say there's no such thing as losing, they're all learnings, and then not watch a loss back. It's a learning, and it's a big learning because it's under the most pressure. So, yeah, BS.
I would have 100% wanted redemption as a player.
And if officially they're not watching it, unofficially the players are. Yeah. They're across it.
Yep. I don't know about watching it back because I feel like you need a couple years to, like, watch one back. But
bits and pieces.
Bits and pieces. You learn, you look at stoppages and stuff like that. But the fact they've said they've not spoken about it at all, that's just, you cannot believe that.
Yeah, I'm not sure about Matthew Clark saying that. But, hey, well, whatever they did or didn't do, definitely worked. 30 points. Wow. I did not expect that.
No, that was comprehensive.
Yeah. And Anne Hatchard. And I think it's Ashley Woodland, 4 goals.
Yeah. Woodland now spelt with a 4 instead of the A.
Anne Hatchard was massive, though. Like, you sort of look at that midfield and it's Marinoff, Hatchard, whichever one of them gets a bit more attention, the other one needs to sort of release the shackles a bit, and Hatchard did that in spades.
Well, Ebony Marinoff did have a bit of attention with Kathy Svark tagging her, but finished up with 23. So 23 disposals.
Incredible.
So go figure. But, that was very good win by Adelaide.
The venue, can you remind me of the venue they played at? Was it Noralunga?
Flinders University Stadium.
Yeah, Noralunga. So they said they're looking forward to getting back home, I think, this week.
Because it looked like a construction zone. Norwood.
It did.
Definitive construction zone.
It did vibes.
Let's go to Carlton.
Brisbane.
Oh, Brisbane. I've gone too far.
A, the B, alphabet. C.
Reminder, go back to school, Wallace.
Brisbane reigning premiers, like we just said, defeated by Adelaide by 30 points. They've lost 2. I would say, of their best players down either end of the ground in Kate Lutkins and Davison. Is back-to-back still on the cards?
I think I've put a line through it. Is that harsh to have put a line through already?
It's probably not. Lutkins is so important to them. And Davidson as well. That was the most bizarre injury I've ever seen. She was running back off the mark and did a serious ankle injury. Like, I think they said post-match it was a serious sprain.
Oh.
So she might be back from that a bit quicker, but Lutkins is gone for the year.
When I saw Davidson, I actually thought it might have been worse because you could tell the ankle went and then she sort of clutched at knee and then she held hamstring. I thought, oh, no, it's...
She's done entire leg.
The whole leg. Oh, no.
That's where they'll be able to say, unique leg injury.
Yes. I don't think back-to-backs is on the cards and, dare I say, it maybe not even in the top 6.
You're rolling them out of finals?
Yeah.
Wow.
A slide. We've gone from a big slide in one game. Those.
I know. I make bold predictions, don't I? They might backfire. We'll find out, but that's okay. But, look, Adelaide did. They had the whole game on their terms. But to Brisbane's credit, when they were 2 down, I think they must have had 3 on the bench, they did put on as much pressure as they could throughout it. Unfortunately, they did end up goalless until the fourth quarter. So, yeah, I don't know.
O'Dwyer was pretty good. Orla O'Dwyer was probably their
great
best
name.
Player.
Yeah. Orla O'Dwyer.
Yeah. She was pretty good through the middle. So I guess that's one positive to get out of that game. But at the same time, for such a powerful scoring side to not kick a goal
until
in the fourth
quarter.
And a reigning premier as well. Is that some sort of record for a reigning premier to not score in the first 3 quarters?
I would think so. So I guess maybe we give them one more week. We see what happens and how they fill those 2 big gaps. This time, Carlton.
Carlton. So just quickly before we get into our question of the week with Carlton, so we have an apology to make because last week we were sort of bagging them out for 5 opposition captains tipping them to make the grand final.
We predicted a typo though.
Yeah, we predicted a typo and we were right with that. It was actually supposed to be Brisbane and the AFL put out another release later in the day. So we're not apologising to Carlton.
Did you type that? BC? CB, ABC.
Yeah, it was actually Jen.
It was Jen.
That would have happened if it was me.
So, but yeah, Carlton have not been tipped to make the grand final by any opposing captains, just to put that on the record. But obviously on the weekend, round 1, they lost to Collingwood by 19 points. Did a lack of discipline cost them this game? Because they gave away 3 50-metre penalties,
and
which resulted
silly.
In goal.
Mm. Yep.
Silly, and it was a 19-point margin, 3 times 6, 18.
They just gave it to Collingwood.
They did.
I just don't think. I think, and if they reflect back on that, they were in that game other than those ill-disciplined moments that cost them in the maximum way. Take that out and it's game on against the pre-season premiership favourites.
Elise O'Day, oh, I love the way she goes about it, but she gave away two of them and they were just ridiculous. Like,
and she's a mature player. Yeah, she's been in the system a while.
Should know better.
Yeah. I'm still just, I'm a big fan of Elise O'Day. But
yeah, we like her.
We do, we like her. But
don't make Daniel Harford pull those remaining hairs out of his head.
Yeah.
Well, that's it, isn't it? There's physicality and then there's coach killers. Mm. Or, you know, and we always say coach killers, but it's teammate killers in that sense, because all of the hard work everyone's doing, you just, it's a millimetre too far. You give it away, you undo all the good work.
And 50 metres in women's footy.
Huge.
Hurts you hard.
Because who here can kick 50 metres? Always. Always. Mm. Every time. Regardless of the wind.
Yeah, no, not many.
So it's a maximum penalty. And Collingwood now, we should also remind people we're recording this on Monday, so there's plenty of opportunity for things to have changed within this world as we know. So Collingwood, they defeated Carlton. We were just talking about that. I've got the talking point. It can't be anything else. Bree Davey injury deep into the fourth quarter. Game almost done. It's iced as well. And unfortunately, another ACL.
And you could just, even though, well, obviously we were watching it on TV, but you could just feel, you could feel the energy. Like, all the players were so flat. I don't even think Steph Kerrici, the captain, could, like, talk. I saw Chloe Malloy almost in tears by the end of the game. They've just won.
Yeah.
The crowd went a bit quiet.
Everything was somber, wasn't it? The mood was down versus a win, and understandably so. It's a huge player, huge, you know, heart and soul of their club, and just, it's, you hate when you see someone, any team would have a reaction like that, but what does it do for our pre-season favourites for their season?
It puts a massive dent in it for me. Obviously, that Collingwood still have a lot of depth through the midfield. They have Bonici, who had quite a low game time. She was on the bench a fair bit in that first half and then really came into her own in the second.
Jamie Lambert.
Great game.
They still have depth in the midfield, but just a player of that calibre going out for the entirety of the season, I just, you're not going to find a Bree Davey to replace her.
Yeah, and you could probably maybe replace and put Chloe Malloy in there, but you're robbing Peter to pay Paul. Like, she's very good in the forward line. Yeah, I don't know who you replace her with.
Look, given it, you know, fast forward another year, all these players will have developed their game even further. You mentioned players are already good, but they're going to do so under more pressure because no longer does Davey take the distraction from the opposition. It doesn't go to Davey anymore. It goes to someone else. So I think it'll affect them and they'll have to see how they go. Great opportunity. Not that you want to capitalise on someone else's misfortune in that way, but great opportunity for some other teams coming up against Collingwood in this next little bit to get them while they're trying to figure themselves out.
We'll give you one last W prediction now, since Davey's gone.
No, Jen's not allowed
to. That's it. You're just out now.
You're out.
Just the two of us.
Fremantle. Okay, so we spoke about the derby earlier. 28 point win to the Dockers. I think that Ebony Antonio, we spoke about her earlier in the piece. She should play as a permanent half forward with those sort of stints on the wing. Obviously, Antonio's played just about everywhere in the AFLW to date, but with the Dockers recruiting Ellie Runnels through the draft from North Melbourne, I just feel like they have really two solid wingers there in Runnels and Kane now. And it with the loss of Duffy and Sharp up forward, I feel like Antonio should fill that gap and play there permanently.
She's the ultimate utility. Mm. She is the X factor, I believe, in the AFLW.
Yeah, it just fills any spot.
Any spot.
Easily, in a sense, you know, just can. It's not like it takes time for her to find her feet with her.
And she was also an All-Australian halfback.
Yeah.
Show off.
Yeah, I know.
Like, she was good on the wing last year, but I just feel like we saw her on the weekend, she can kick three goals in a game. Like, not many AFLW players can do that. So just plonk her on the half forward flank, give her that license to push up the ground and have an impact, but then get back to goal and get herself in a scoring position.
Potentially putting her at half forward as well, like, I know if I'm coaching, I'd be putting my best defender on her, which then frees up Houghton, who, again, is another X factor because when she's on, she is on. I don't mind that move.
Cooper wanted them to be braver and not make conservative decisions this season. So I think you've nailed it on the head. I reckon that's a great option for them.
And Gabby O'Sullivan went into the midfield. She was great in there.
Wasn't she?
She was fantastic. Mitz, as they call
except
her.
She dropped a marker in the second
herself.
Half.
Yeah, she calls herself Mitz.
Yeah, self-proclaimed Mitz.
That goal she kicked and then cramped. And then everyone jumped on top of it. It's like, oh, the poor girl's in pain. There's a great goal, though.
I can't think who it was. I think they were kind of hidden, but there's a great photo of someone goes in to celebrate and then just turns it immediately from, oh, you're on the ground, into straight into helping her stretch the leg. It was like this ultimate teammate act. And then they got piled on top and she's still, like, trying to stretch the cramp out.
Quick shout out to Anne McMahon as well, playing her first game at AFLW level. She was immense.
Yeah, she was very good.
Lots of positives for Freo. So, Geelong.
Geelong. Defeated by North Melbourne by 8 points. The talking point. Now, I'm going to take you back to round one in 2021. North Melbourne v Geelong. And they got walloped by 62 points.
Ooh.
Let's go to round one, 2022. North Melbourne, Geelong, 8 points. So they have been, they were very big improvers. With that being said, you'd want to with four round one draft picks. They kept North Melbourne scoreless in the second term and then late into the third term. And I think that at one point they were beating North Melbourne, which is huge. So improvement, tick.
Oh, huge.
Press Parkes, tick. Great to see Nina Morrison back as well. She didn't look like she was tired at all. And of probably someone that's underrated on their list, Amy McDonald.
Yep.
She was great.
Yeah. People know Geelong as Meg McDonald, their captain, but yeah, there's another McDonald in Amy.
There's too many McDonalds. There's too many Meg McDonalds and there's too many Bella Smiths, I think it is. I think that's where we multiply already across the league.
Yes. But yeah, big, big ticks for Geelong for me.
I think that Irish woman, Rachel Kearns, as well, like her physicality. Like, she didn't have a massive impact on the game, but she just threw her weight around and bullied her way through every contest.
She's one of Ireland's, like, number one boxers or boxing champion.
So she doesn't even play Gaelic?
No, I think she did play Gaelic, but she's a boxer as well. So, how's your luck?
Save the boxing for off-field.
Gold Coast.
So, tip them pre-season to not win a game this year. To be honest, they got closer than I thought they were going to, 15 points down to GWS. But with the Gold Coast, Clinda Howarth, her first quarter was massive. She needs to stay forward permanently. There's been a lot of talk this preseason about playing her off half back, and she did head into defence in that sort of second half. But you're taking your most potent scorer and your biggest scoring threat out of the forward line, which just baffled me.
I guess you don't want to make sure that they don't ever have access to her. That's when you have the discussion of her going back down back again, is because she gets the ball moving forward, but she can't kick it to herself if she's down back. So as long as they've got options to get her supply, I agree with you. You've got to score points to win.
And she was also their best player yesterday.
She was an All-Australian as well 2 years ago. We forget about that. She had a very backwards 2021 season, but in 2020 she kicked 9 goals. She was an All-Australian. She absolutely lit up that forward line.
Yeah.
And I just feel like taking her out of there, she looked the most likely to score out of anyone on that park in the first quarter, and then suddenly she's at half back.
No, bring on scoring.
Yeah. More scoring. But, yeah, I agree. And her pressure.
Charlie Robotton go? How do we think?
She worked her way into it.
Yeah.
Bit of a quiet start, but showed some signs.
She did show some signs.
Promising.
Probably Sparkus was the better debutante of the two.
Yeah.
But Robotton, like, she had, like, I think 99% of her possessions were contested. So that's a good sign. In and under, showed a bit. I guess that first quarter from the Suns was amazing, and it looked like they were with every chance of winning that game, and then just followed by a three, like, quarters.
And they had 7 debutantes, so build throughout the season. It's got to be more than one quarter of footy. Get rid of those 3 meh quarters, and then we'll start to take them a bit more seriously.
There's signs there.
I'm not going to lie. Once it did get a bit close, I was like, no, the back-to-back spoons. God, I need to stop.
GWS.
Defeated Gold Coast by 15 points. And, like, to the credit, it was a bit of an arm wrestle. Rumour has it that the players genuinely believed they were playing on the Great Barrier Reef in a stadium.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it was on the social media. It was on their socials last week. Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Like, they said we can't play to play on the Great Barrier Reef. I don't know.
Did they go to school?
I don't know. then Al McConnell was actually, like, interviewed, and he couldn't believe it.
Lost it. Did they think it was, like, a floating oval?
That's what was asked, yeah.
Oh my God. Got I do it. Want a floating oval somehow built into the preservation of the Great Barrier Reef. I'm all for that if we can have something that works together. But you can't be serious, can you?
Yeah, I'll find it. Leave it with me. I'll find it and I'll send it to you.
Excellent.
My talking point for this game is do
that
we...
That wasn't the talking point?
That was okay. Just like okay, FYI.
Sorry, I got excited.
I want to play on the Great Barrier Reef. Sorry.
Do we need to continuously keep talking about players' age?
Oh, no.
Players' ages. So Cora Staunton, she's 40, and I think that was mentioned about half a dozen times throughout the broadcast yesterday.
Well, I guess one of the things you get told to do when you're the colour person, you try and add in the colour, you try and add in something about the person or the people that are playing, and you also get told, don't forget that someone might have only just switched on. Now, for you as a complete nut enough, an encyclopedia of the sport, you haven't just switched on, and so you're like, oh, there's another one on the white. She mentioned it again, they've mentioned it again, they've mentioned it again. But for someone else, they're like, oh my God, she's 40. Outstanding.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
My only defence.
Maybe we put like a cap on it, once a quarter you can mention it. I don't know.
So we're saying maximum four times.
Okay, we'll go with that. I'm okay with that.
I think it's pretty cool to celebrate. We've got a 40-year-old Irish woman who totally broke her leg in half 2 years ago, who's still dominating, who's still kicking goals.
And how old is she?
She's 40.
I think my face just said it all then when you asked that question.
Okay, Melbourne. So they comfortably defeated the Western Bulldogs by 24 points. Look, do Melbourne have the best forward line in the competition? They kicked 6-10. And they had a first quarter that they kicked three goals and flew out of the gates.
Yes.
Mm.
Taylor Harris, Kate Hoare, Maddie Gay, throwing Zenka in there as well, Eden Zenka.
And scarily, their coach after the game said that, look, they almost gave the impression, thought they were a bit rusty, a bit of lack of game fatigue in that sense because of the point of the season and no real preseason games for a lot of the same teams. If they're lucky, they played one. And he said, there's so much more improvement for this team.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah. Tyler Hanks was very good up forward. She's pressure, brings a lot of zip. But Harris only hitting the one goal, but I think that's just a few teething issues sort of fitting into that forward line.
Cause finding out how it works.
I've had to adapt to fit her in, obviously. Yeah. So she'll get there, I think. And Eleanor Brown was very good on her, playing that lockdown defender role from the Bulldogs.
And that's the thing, though. So your best defender is always now kind of probably go to Taylor Harris, so that frees up the speedster in Kate Hoare. Maddie Gay, who is from netball, that only picked up the sport a couple of years ago, who has had such an impact already. I believe they have the best forward line. On top of that, Daisy Pearce was delivering it into them as well, or score assists. And
yeah, you always watch Daisy Pearce fairly closely. What do you see from her this round?
She was just Daisy. She just has this aura about her, and we all talk about players that you'd probably stand really tall with when you're on the field. That for me would be Daisy. But
so Melbourne, with the injury to Collingwood, I'm just getting like Ashton, I've banged the table. The injuries in Collingwood, the injuries in Brisbane's camp, Melbourne, are they getting already higher and higher up our favourites list? They're already on the favourites list to start.
They're warming up, certainly. Mm-hmm. They're peaking. No, they're not peaking. That's the wrong word. It's round one. I shouldn't say that.
They're building into it nicely, aren't they? With that performance for round one, and they can improve still.
Yeah, flag favourites.
Flag favourites. North Melbourne.
North Melbourne. North. As we said before, defeated Geelong by 8 points. They lost Emma Carney midweek, captain. Never missed an AFLW game before.
Ever.
W medalist, I think 2018. And they lost her midweek. So I was thinking, well, that's it. Like, who's going to stand up? Who's going to take her place? Thinking Jazzy Garner. She's been very good. But there's a player named Ash Riddell. She got 35 disposals on the weekend. Is she the most underrated midfielder in the AFLW? So 35 disposals and 7 tackles.
A huge contribution to the game.
35.
That's massive. Look, I think the way that they were able to just cover the loss of someone that we probably would look at and go, ooh, can you cover? Can you replace? This might be really hard. It wasn't that hard.
Yeah.
Which means when she comes back in, even better.
Exactly. So then Carney comes back in. You got Riddell, Garner, Brunton.
Yeah, so how is it opposition? How do you cover that now? Because maybe you would have been like, oh, we can probably leave Riddell. Like, maybe that's not who we have to focus too hard on. You can't now. You can't let her be free.
No.
Speaking on that underrated thing, it's interesting because Kiara Bowers seems to get underrated. Like, they said it on the commentary on the weekend. They were talking about Davey before she got injured and said, well, Davey's the best player in the competition. And I'm sitting there thinking, hang on, they shared that last year.
I know. It's like they all forget that it was a joint winner.
Well, you look at, like, there's been a couple power rankings that have come out. Journo's over East trying to tip their rankings, and Bowers is perpetually second. And I'm thinking in my head, Davey has way more support around her last year with the likes of Lambert and
Benici.
Bowers did a lot of it on her own, and Bowers has finished second the year before. So how is this ranking working that Davey's considered better than Bowers? Is it
Victorian?
VFL. AFL. I can't work it out. Good luck to anybody that would like to tag North Melbourne's players.
Richmond.
The Tigers. Massive result for the Tigers in round one, getting up by 38 points over St Kilda. Monconti can't go past her. We've heard for a couple months now how she's committed to AFLW. She doesn't have the basketball thing.
WNBL?
Yeah, that one. So she doesn't have those commitments anymore. She's focused solely on footy, and we saw the benefits of that straight away. 29 touches, best on ground performance. Can she win the medal this year?
Absolutely.
Yeah, she can. BYO your own footy to the game.
And it also turns up to the game in white Crocs.
Yeah.
That's her uniform turning up. So there's some swagger there as well. Like,
did she have the little, like, the plugins, like the little emblems you can get?
I didn't notice any little accessorising. I didn't notice that because I did focus in on the Crocs.
Hang on, you can accessorise Crocs?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you know how you like to have the little, like, player head badges?
Yep.
Yeah, pins and buttons.
You can get little tiger
ones. We could
get
you some Crocs and give you your favourite players on your feet, hey?
No.
That's a no? It's a hard no.
It's an absolute hard no. She could win the W award, but if you put a tag on Monconti, that's it. Like, there's no one else around her. I think the next closest person in Richmond's disposals was LaVey, and she had 10 less. So you take out Monconti.
Well, that's why the importance of Ellie McKenzie getting back as fast as possible.
Yeah.
From this weird calf injury. Unique calf injury. But the Tigers moved the ball really well, and they kicked 10 goals, and it wasn't just one player. It was the likes of Wakefield, it was Bernardi, Katie Brennan bobbed up with two. I really like how that forward line looks, and it's almost like they're better without Frederick in there.
Yeah, they are, absolutely.
Yeah, just more options, force the defenders to work around them and chase them. It looks really good.
St Kilda, continue rolling on.
God, we're having a lot of back-to-backs in this alphabetical list.
It's obviously how they've done the fixtures.
They beat them and they beat them.
Yeah, it's a fixturing.
Yeah, fixturing. So St Kilda, as we know, lost to 38 points to Richmond. For me, Kate McCarthy, 3 touches for the entire game. Their midfield is depleted enough as it is with no Patricios and Smith, but I feel like they need more from her. She was just – they needed someone who could break the lines, and she – went forward in the second half, was a bit better there, but just as a midfielder, did not do enough.
I would have sent her to Conti.
You reckon?
Yeah. She's got speed. She's got pace. The ball wasn't really, after the first quarter, going into their forward line. I would have sent her, yeah.
On ball.
Yeah, on ball.
Yeah,
and just run with her.
Yeah.
Because then you're going to be in the right spot at the time, because Conti's on fire, so it's going there anyway. So that's your best chance. Sometimes that's got to be some of the brave coaching calls. Sometimes you've just got to line up your best with your best and go, all right, you two, let's take each other to the ball and see what happens.
And she's got so much pace on her. That's
she's
the
so
thing.
Quick.
So she's then use so it. Quick. Why is she not getting on the end of loose balls? And there was one bump. She got hit quite fairly by a tiger and was sort of on the ground for a fair bit after that. And it's like, mate, if you got up and you were chasing, you would have beaten her to the ball already. So
don't be a soccer player.
Yeah. Tiny White, I really like the look of her in the midfield. 14 touches.
Tiny White, big tick in
the mid. St Kilda best player by far, 11 tackles, 1 goal. She looks to have stepped up massively.
And she no doubt has to with the loss of their two best players. And along with that, Rosie Dillon.
Yeah.
Kicked the first 2 goals.
Inaccurate as well, St Kilda. They 8 scoring shots.
How many?
Their forward line's just slow. It's just a slow forward line.
How many games are they going to win, Ash? Taking you back to last week?
Yeah, take me back. I said 3 games and, oh, God, I absolutely regret it.
Yeah, and I chowed you up for it and I'm looking right.
Yeah.
I am Nostradamus.
Okay, West Coast. They were defeated in the derby by Frio. Margin was 28 points. So still the little sister. The preseason game shows that it is just that, a preseason game. We've already wiped it from our memory. They didn't score. They were goalless in the first half, and then they didn't even manage to score in the fourth quarter. So fairly dominant defeat by the big sisters in Frio. Looked like Paris needed a bit more help in the ruck department. And I don't know, like we've been talking about being brave, and I guess this was Frio's talk a little bit more, but hooker to me, I think she had 9 disposals. So we're just talking about St Kilda putting someone on Conti to be able to get them near the ball. Hooker surely is one of their best players, has to get more on the ball.
With the game probably in the balance that third quarter, I think Fremantle were only up by 5 points.
They got close at one point.
Yeah.
I probably would have started the fourth quarter, pulled the trigger and put Hooker in the middle, just because we all know, one, she can get the footy, and she's a good use of the footy. Would have pulled the trigger.
Because that fourth quarter, they literally spent it in their defensive 50, didn't
Not
they?
Not a single inside 50 for the Eagles. Yeah. And there was three centre clearances. Four throw-ups in the centre of the ground. Fremantle 1-3, then West Coast 1-1. Couldn't even move it past halfway. But speaking to like Michael Pryor post-match in the press conference, and this is a clip for Perth Media. I was the only journal in the press conference. Where the hell was everyone else?
How does that happen?
I don't really know. So it was a one-on-one, but it was being recorded.
A one-on-one, yeah.
Yeah, Channel 7 were recording it, but it was
just the use later.
Just me. Nobody else can use them because they're my quotes.
They are yours. Hey, Michael Pryor, everyone familiar here with Steve Smith, Australian current vice-captain cricket. Michael Pryor is Steve Smith in another 30 years. Put them side by side. I watched him standing there doing his press conference and I could not see Steve Smith growing up into Michael Pryor.
And you're an avid cricketer, so.
But anyway, to finish that train of thought, Pryor said that they're going to persist with Hooker at halfback.
Okay.
So.
And you went,
and I went,
have a think.
I'm the only one here, so. What, Michael, really?
I'm going to ask that question again. Okay, Western Bulldogs, they were defeated by Melbourne. The margin was 24. The result was probably what we had thought was going to happen, guys, I reckon, but the injury to Izzy was the heartbreaker of it, wasn't it?
Three ACLs now.
Three. Not fair.
No.
Can he come back from three? Like mentally, like physically we can, but mentally, do you think she'll ever be the same?
I'd be on the phone to Kiara Bowers.
True.
Yeah.
Very true.
There's definitely examples out there. That's a great one.
Yeah.
Then just, you know, share those experiences and find out, well, how do you do it? How do I get back to that and have that confidence to trust my body and trust turning and being agile and just not think about it? Because you're right, it could be something that could derail. And understandably so if it does. But she could work pretty hard and take it the other way. The all-female assistant coaching lineup for the Doggies. Did you guys notice that?
Yes, I think that's brilliant. Mel Hickey, Natalie Wood, and of course Kirby Bentley.
So she was there as a development coach, but great opportunity for her. But just raises the question, doesn't it? The fact that was noticeable and then obviously written about made me go, oh, that means it's nowhere else. Oh, that's not great.
And they weren't there based on tokenism. Like,
no.
It's merit appointments.
Skill and what they bring.
Yeah, which is what we probably need to see more of around the whole league.
Well, if I'm Essendon, I'll use a Victorian team. And Hawthorn has already got Beck Goddard coming in. If I'm Essendon, I'm definitely trying to find out their numbers, even just to have in their program. But Mel Hickey, for me, she's one of the next AFLW female coaches coming through.
You awesome. Can tell based on her special comments.
Oh, like she's so good.
Her knowledge of the game is outstanding.
Yeah.
So how much does the injury hurt them?
A lot.
A lot. They're already injury hit. Gabby Newton, number one draft pick, shoulder, done for the season. That happened in the preseason. Izzy Huntington, yeah, that hurts him.
All right, and with the Western Bulldogs, that means we've gone through all of the sides under our 2-minute warning. Great job, everyone. Hey, as we wrap it up with some news or some most impactful players for West Coast and Frio, WA bias, we're going to bring it.
Well, news break.
Oh, what have you got?
Emails. Popping up again. It's all coming to me. It's all.
Lucky you don't turn off your notifications when we do this because it feels good.
Is that a clip? Because I need that. So, Runnels has been nominated for the Mark of the Week and Antonio for Goal of the Year.
Goal of the Year, that's it. Lock it in. Done.
Oh, just Ash is so happy with herself. She could not be happier than this has happened.
Remember literally, that, like,
come on. 30 minutes ago, she's called, I'm calling this Goal of the Year, and then an email's come in and that's the Goal of the Week, Goal of the Round.
It's like that Jeremy Howe when he's sitting there thinking he's about to be announced and then, like, they announce someone else has won it and his face, that's going to be Ebony Antonio if she doesn't win it this
year.
It's
going to be Ashley Renshaw if it doesn't go that way. Oh, my God, we're not going to hear the end of this all week. Okay, well, surely Antonio, are you happy to say she's most impactful player or?
She is. I'm just going to throw to the a little somebody else at Fremantle that I thought was impactful. Dana East.
Yeah. Quiet first half.
Yeah.
He worked her way into it.
So smooth with the football under pressure. Like, look at her handball. Like, you just watch her go through the packs, handballs it out. Like, yeah, very
massive
good.
Massive tackler. Like, some massive tackles. Hey, it was turbo-esque.
Yes. I reckon, is East the one that during the day, because she's got the blonde hair, the low bun, that I kept thinking was Miller, and I kept thinking she kept changing her hair? Like, what is she doing?
Yes, Dana East with the low blonde haired bun.
She
looks like Hayley Miller from Subiaco with the blonde hair, low bun throughout Waffle W season.
Yeah.
Charlie it's a Thomas powerful look. Freaked me out as well. She wore a bun. I'm so used to seeing her in the ponytail. I'm thinking, who's that?
Then her bun got loose. It got
her, her bun was everywhere. But I think maybe, well, it is, especially in AFLW. Sometimes like, I struggle with that. I was like, do I have my hair in a high pony? I don't know what to do. By the end of my career, I was playing with my hair in a bun. I think Charlie had her hair up in a big bun because of the wind.
Okay.
She does have long hair.
Interesting. One to watch out for. We'll bring you breaking updates on Charlie Thomas's choice of haircut.
I also didn't mind Amy Schmidt's goal.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it was nice. Nice little finisher.
Good work from you as well with the when she had the assist that wasn't credited. Excellent work from you.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, they said that she was the goal assist to Swanee when she kicked her goal. Oh, no, sorry. They said it was Kelly Gibson.
That's right.
To Amy Schmidt. This was on the AFLW Twitter page.
Okay, so round two, it opens up this Friday. Richmond get another Friday night game, two in a row for them. They'd be taking on the D's 4:10 Australian Western Standard Time. So Richmond pretty lucky getting two Friday night games. Not going to be as easy for them, though, coming across Melbourne. Our WA teams officially on the road come the end of this week.
Saturday morning, I think.
Okay.
Fly out, chartered flight.
Friday or Saturday.
Yeah.
Apparently. One of those days.
One team on the left, one team on the right, sort of thing.
Yeah, it's going to be that.
COVID times.
Don't talk.
Yeah, don't talk. Okay. Emma Swanson, Hayley Miller, one in the front of the plane, one at the back.
Who gets the extra leg room? Gets the extra leg room.
Hayley's taller, I think. Yeah. We'll go with the height.
Who gets like that alpha? Who gets the alpha with the most things? So West Coast would be taking on Gold Coast. That's 9:40 a.m. Sunday Perth time. So we can watch that while having some brekkie. Nice early one for us over here in the West. And we get to finish our weekend with Frio against GWS. That's Sunday 2:10 p.m. How do you reckon our two sides go this weekend, guys?
I think two wins.
Yep, two wins.
Two wins.
Two wins, yeah.
Eagles have to beat the Suns.
They do.
Yeah.
It's one of their only opportunities to play one of those fellow 2020 expansion sides, and they beat them last year by 1 point. I would want a considerable improvement on that margin.
Okay, but we think they can do it.
They can do it. Absolutely,
they have improved,
they can.
So. Yep. All right, so we're locking in two from two for the West Aussie sides. Look, crew, that's another Hardball Gets completed. Excellent job, you guys. Look, don't forget to like, subscribe, follow us on Spotify, Apple, Google, all those things so you don't miss anything from us as we take over with the AFLW here at Hardball Gets. And, of course, Instagram at Hardball Gets AFL. Thanks, Eliza. Thanks, Ash.
Thank you.
And massive thanks to producer Sam because you're the true MVP weekly.
Yeah, Sam, shout out, real MVP.
Well, we can't wait for round two, starting Friday with Richmond versus Melbourne. I'm Jen Wallace. Thanks for joining us on Hardball Gets AFLW.